We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Denise Coffey in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we welcome for the first time Denise Coffey to speak up for the ladies against these three experienced male exponents of the game. Once again, I'm going to ask them all if they can to speak for just a minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the others thinks they're guilty of doing this, they may challenge. If I agree with the challenge, or otherwise, they will gain points, or otherwise, according to which way the decision goes. And Derek Nimmo, we'd like you to begin the first round. The subject is breaking a code. Can you talk for 60 seconds on that, starting now?
It's very curious that you should ask me to talk about breaking codes, because it is, in fact, one of the few things that I'm really qualified to talk about. Because I spent the whole of my military service in the intelligence corps. Now, the trouble with this, really, is that I'm bound by the Official Secrecy Act, and because I was in MI8, and although I know absolutely everything about breaking codes, I don't know whether I should really be allowed to talk about it. Now, would you like to put this to the audience?
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Pardon me.
Why deviation, Clement?
Would you like to put this to the audience?
It's got nothing to do with breaking...
It's entirely devious to the point of breaking a code.
It is entirely devious to break your code. Yes, I was trying to think of a devious way of saying, according to this game, it wasn't devious, because we do put it to the audience sometimes. All right, Clement Freud, I agree, and there are 34 seconds left for breaking a code, starting now.
I once had a terribly bad code, and I'm trying to break myself, are we?
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
We're not discussing bad codes, we're discussing codes, so he's deviating.
Yes, unless there is something very wrong with my diction, and I'm not going to allow that to be accused of that, Clement. I did say breaking a code.
So did I.
So did he.
What did
no,
you say?
No, he didn't.
I once had a very bad code, and I tried to break myself off. It's exactly what I said.
Well, then, obviously, you're not such a good actor as I thought, because I didn't get the code out of those. So, all right. I see what you mean now. You had to explain it to me. Therefore, I disagree with Kenneth's challenge, and you gain a point, Clement, another point, Clement Freud, and you keep the subject 29 seconds for breaking a code, starting now.
It was set by a man who transposed every fourth letter of the alphabet, putting in its place an asterisk or a dash. And this was an impossible thing to solve until one afternoon, walking down Regent Street at dusk, there was...
Derek Nimmo, why could challenge?
Hesitation,
I agree. Yes, he got down Regent Street at dusk and he paused. So there we are. There are 12 seconds left for you, Derek, breaking a code starting...
Well, I used to break my code on a particular Mediterranean island, and I was there in a small hut along with several other people, and we used to listen to Morse code, and I used to get...
Denise, why do you challenge?
Oh,
you just want to say something?
No, I don't. What I want to say is repetition of the word code. That's
yes,
what I
yes the actual subject is breaking a code, and he used the word code not in the
once,
context of the
twice.
Subject, so therefore Denise has a point, her first point, and there are 3 seconds left for you, Denise, to continue with the subject of breaking a code, starting now.
A very favourite form of code is the anagram, which was used widely in the
The whistle goes, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that point gains an extra point. In this occasion, it was the newcomer to the show, Denise Coffey, who now has the lead alongside Clement Freud. They both have 2. Derek has 1. Kenneth has yet to score, but we know he's probably got great things in store for us. Clement, the subject for you to start the next round is the dodo. Can you talk for 60 seconds on that, starting now?
The dodo is as old as itself. Or to put it another way, when something is particularly ancient, unspirited...
Derek Nimmo, you challenge.
Hesitation,
I agree, Derek. So you take over the subject, and again another point. 47 seconds for the dodo, starting now.
Particularly fine bird, rather like a pelican, really, that we used to be found in Mauritius, but is now extinct because it was shot to death, unfortunately. So you can see...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
Deviation, it was never established that the dodo was shot to death.
No, I believe it was hunted to death by the pigs which were imported by the British at the
particular
time.
I have other information.
So, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. You gain a point, and there are 40 seconds left for the dodo, starting now.
I was reliably informed that it flew in ever-decreasing circles
and eventually vanished in its own vacuum. But that is probably a matter of hearsay.
Then, of course, we have to realize that much of our knowledge is based on hearsay.
Denise, coffee and challenged. A repetition of hearsay. I quite agree, Denise. So you get another point, and there are 21 seconds left for the dodo, Denise, starting now.
I was told that this was in fact a wingless bird, which led to its immediate extinction because it could not fly and felt embarrassed and inferior in company with others of the feathered flock which surrounded it and constantly pecked at it. It was completely defenseless and therefore fell down full of dreadful holes with blood spurting from every gushing gash.
Once again, our newcomer, Denise, with her spurting, gushing spouts of knowledge, was speaking when the whistle went and gains an extra point. She now has a lead over all the others at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round for us? The subject is being made up for a film. Can you talk about that? I'm sure you can very easily. 60 seconds will do, starting now.
It usually takes place very early in the morning, and one is certainly not in the mood for cosmetics, but that is what is applied to one's face. And they lay you out on this glass. I use the term
Derek Nimmer has challenged you, I'm afraid. Why are you challenged?
You didn't lay you out in a slab.
The last film I did, I was done all over with this wet wipe. So I actually on the glass. That's like a row!
Ken, if I'm completely on your side, you're only to defend yourself with such gusto as that, because you've got another point, and there are 42 seconds for being made up for a film starting now.
Firstly, they use a foundation cream, which then makes the skin nicely pliable for having a
little bit up. Roy, why are you challenged?
What is this?
Well, as I couldn't hear what he was talking about, I don't know. I don't know whether he has it. I couldn't hear. If you can hear, I'll let you judge, because I don't know. I'm going to let the audience judge. If you think Kenneth was hesitating, cheer. If you think he wasn't hesitating, boo. And all do it together now. They're cheering, so they thought you were hesitating. So Clement gets a point, and he takes over the subject with 29 seconds for being made up for a film, starting now.
For me, this is an experience which is getting longer and more tedious, because as my hair has...
Kenneth Williams' wife, which
hesitation.
Hesitation, I agree, Kenneth. You have 22 seconds left for being made up for a film starting now.
And then this girl gets this brush to make my eyes blue. And she often said to me, this makeup's really quite unnecessary because your eyes are like...
Kenneth, why do you chat?
Revolution of eyes.
Yes, we've had too much of your eyes, I'm afraid. Twice.
Oh.
Just done yourself out of a very interesting anecdote.
It's a lovely way of getting out of it, isn't it, Kenneth? But Derek gets a point, and there are 8 seconds left for being made up for a film, Derek, starting now.
Well, unlike in a film, I'm only made up from the neck up. When I sit down in the shower, they put a lovely thing round my neck, and there I sit there with brown put all over me, and my hair curls.
I thought there was a very clever bit of gamesmanship for a very experienced player then. Derek, you have gone into the lead alongside Denise and Clement at the end of that round, and Kenneth is only 1 point behind, so it's still anybody's game. Denise Coffey, will you begin the next round? Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Can you talk about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
The eponymous heroes of this topic, which has just been mentioned, are two fictional characters, both knights of the realm, who were invented by Eric Dodson, who's otherwise known as Lewis Carroll.
Clement, Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Not true. They weren't invented by him.
Oh,
Tweedledum and Tweedledee has been, well, it's been in English language for many, many years.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid they were. They weren't actually invented.
Oh, clever clogs. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's Miss Sharp straight out of the knife box. Yes.
But it is a very definite challenge, which is accurate, so Derek gets a point, and he takes over the subject with 48 seconds left for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, starting now.
Some say that compared with Bonaccini...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Yes, no, there's this word as compared. Unless it's a form of comparing you at the specialty. I must say, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yes, but don't talk yourself out of a
the
point.
Multitude, Kenneth,
don't talk yourself out of a point.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'll give you a point for that, because he meant compared, and I agree that was deviation. So there are 44 and a half seconds left for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, Kenneth, starting now.
They are the names given to two mythical characters who consist consists largely of a load of old codswallop. And that is all I really have to say on the subject.
Sir Clement Freud Challenger.
Hesitation?
No, he did not actually hesitate.
If that's
at that point,
all he has to say
I didn't,
on the subject.
But I didn't stop there.
But the thing
the
is, Clement...
I could have gone on to say that. I will digress here.
Yes.
And it's better. You fell right into it.
At that particular point...
You just fell right
into it. Oh, quiet, Clement! He hadn't at that point hesitated, so he gets another point, much to his surprise, I'm sure. 32 seconds for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, Kenneth, starting now.
Many people would find such a discussion.
Clement Roy, why have you challenged?
Deviation. He's already said that that was all he was going to say about it.
But he had not yet established in his sentence what else he was going to say, so I'm still with Kenneth, who has another point, and 30 seconds left for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, starting now.
Existing largely in the realm of the imagination, there is very little thought of validity which any challenge can properly contain that could be said to dismiss.
Derek Nimmer, why have you
he's not talking about Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
No, I think he's gone right off it. I don't know where you've gone, but it's not Tweedledum and Tweedledee in my mind. So Derek Nimmer gets a point, and there are 18 seconds left for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, starting now.
That handle was a ninny. And others averred that the aforementioned gentleman couldn't hold a handle.
Kenneth has buzzed you.
It has to do with Tweedledum and Tweedledee either.
Has it, Derek?
Yes,
does. Go on, go quickly justify it.
And as there is no difference between them to see, they're as like as Tweedledum and Tweedledee. It's played by John Dyer.
I thought he was going on to that. So Derek gets a point, and there are 12 seconds left for Tweedledum and Tweedledee, Derek, starting now.
Well, they are, of course, people who are absolutely similar, kinds of things that show no difference between them. It's something that's been used throughout the English literary world for many years. You can look at it and find these words mentioned throughout the work.
Well, as Derek was speaking then, when there was a win, he gains an extra point. Derek, the subject is now with you. By the way, you have a lead of two at the end of that round over Kenneth, who's in second place now. And the subject is gorillas, Derek. And yeah. Couldn't think of a less apt one for you, but Ian's thought of it anyway. And we'll begin now.
Well, curious now, I was a gorilla. I mean, actually, I played one. And I had to wear this awful gorilla skin and climb up to the top of a great big thing in Battersea Pleasure Gardens, you know, that Big Dipper thing. And I had to run down chasing a very small dwarf. And it was very perilous and awfully nasty, and I didn't enjoy it at all. And after a while, questions were asked about me in the House of Commons because people stood up and said, they're on the member opposite.
Right, why do you hesitation, yes, once the questions came up in the House, there were definitely... So there we are. Clement, you gain a point, and the subject, 33 seconds left, gorillas, starting now.
I was never myself a gorilla, but I have...
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Deviation, he is.
I've never given bonus points for funniness, but that's about all I could do. I think all I should say is a very funny line, and no points awarded, but Clement keeps the subject. 30 seconds left, Clement, starting now.
But often I see these animals at the zoo, and they do smell quite appalling. It's an astonishing thing, because I'm fond of animals, and I like going to the zoological gardens in Whipsnade, as well as those in Regent's Park, and when I go to the monkey houses, the ape huts, and even the chimpanzee cages, the astonishing odour.
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
A repetition, he did say astonishing before.
No, he said
yes,
amazing
he
smell.
Okay.
9 seconds left for you, Clement, still on gorillas, starting now.
The name is also given to patriots who fight, men who come into their...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
It is.
Well, you see, we go by the sound, and people...
Well, you can't make gorilla sound like gorilla.
Well, I'm afraid, you see...
Well, you
though...
just did.
Don't laugh, we'll get the opening.
No, actually, if you were pronouncing correctly, you should talk about a gorilla instead of a gorilla.
Precisely.
But people...
Thank you, you've done it, you've answered it then. You've got no sound to say and do
it. But I'm afraid people, being very colloquial in their speech, especially in this country...
Well, we're not concerned with people,
say...
all their colloquialism. We're concerned with what's correct.
And we are also concerned in this game with how a thing sounds to the ear and most people when they talk
well,
about...
Well, I don't like the way things are going. I don't like it. Seems to me you're giving all the judgments his way. He always wins.
You
if
always...
If the same, I'm fed up with it.
You always forget when I give the judgments your way. And
oh, okay. Shut up.
Let's get on with it. The subject is gorillas. It's the way you hear it spoken. There are 6 seconds left for Clement Freud to continue, starting now.
In the African forest, there are notices posted up on farms.
There are no notices
in the African forest posted up. It's all lies.
There are notices in the
African forest.
We all would like you to have the subject back, but there are notices in the African forest in places. So Clement gets another point with 3 seconds left for gorillas, starting now.
In India, Pakistan, and Siam, you're very unlikely to find.
Clement, you tried very hard. I'm sorry you didn't win any points. But all that happened is that Clement gets a number of points into that round, and he has sneaked his way into the lead from third place into first. Mad Avenue is the next subject, and Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. Will you talk about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
This is a thoroughfare in New York going from east to west, unlike streets which go from north to south, which is why the city of the first...
Kenneth Williams, why just...
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation. I think he was working out whether he was accurate in saying east to west and north and south. Anyway, there are 50 seconds for you to talk about Madison Avenue, Kenneth, starting now.
The Madison Avenue I am most familiar with is, of course, in Birmingham. And when I played it with a marvelous production, I might add, of Peter Pan, I don't wish to sound as though I'm pushing myself, but I was superb as... wonderful character, and I may say I'm...
Denise Coffey has challenged you. Why, Denise?
I'm afraid we've left Madison Avenue.
Well, he was established, however imagine it may be, that he was in Madison Avenue, Birmingham, giving this strange but superb performance that he thinks was out of this world. So Kenneth gets another point, and he continues for 29 seconds on Madison Avenue, starting now.
And at number 10 in that road, there lived...
Ken Freud, why have you challenged?
Deviation is an avenue.
Oh, yes, that's a very clever challenge. wait a minute.
Of course, that's rubbish. Watling Street was a road.
No. Yes, they are basically roads, so
of
I will get...
Ten...
Quiet, Kenneth.
Don't make me wild, Nick. He's been picking on me.
You always... You just said in this particular round how absolutely marvellous and gentle and composed you were. Clement Freud will get a bonus point for cleverness on that, but you keep the subject, because you weren't actually deviating from it. Madison Avenue, Kenneth, starting now.
The residence there, which I was most familiar with, belonged, of course, to Maudie Fittleworth, fun with a Frankfurter. Oh, the nice Vienna presence, and the gaily plastic birds come out the chimney. Oh, the laughter.
Demo, you've challenged what?
Well, we're always having Maudie Fittleworth.
Am I right? Stand on the blue corner, Derek Nimmer. Stand on my left in the red corner, Kenneth Williams. And I say there was no contest there. Well, we enjoyed that little battle. They didn't actually, listeners, get to actual fisticuffs, you know, to grips with it. But we did have quite an argument about Maudie Fittleworth and her Frankfurters. But I'm afraid, according to the rules of the game, Ken is entitled to bring Maudie into pretty well anything, if he can. And he's brought him to Madison Avenue somehow or other. So he gets another point and continues for 12 seconds. Madison Avenue starting now.
At the other end of it was a pillar box into which I was wont to post my evening mail. Little missives, which I set... What's the matter with her?
Why do you challenge?
Deviation.
Why?
What's the matter with her? It's got nothing to do with that mail.
Oh, no, solicitude. My name is Coffee, after all.
Well, actually, you know, to be utterly fair, Kenneth, that is quite true, you see. You should keep going. So I agree with Clement Freud. By the way, listeners, Denise Coffey was having a cough, and that's what made Kenneth say the remark. But Clement Freud's challenge was correct, so he gets a point, and there's only 1 second left, Clement, for Madison Avenue, starting now.
The American Advertising.
So, Kenneth, you see, it does pay to keep going. Another 2 seconds, you'll have got an extra point. All that happens is that Clement has extended his lead at the end of that round. Denise Coffey, will you begin the next round? Tranquility. Can you speak about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Tranquility was an obscure Irish philosopher whose works have mainly been lost to us because he wrote mainly for illiterates, and therefore all his books were contained only blank pages.
Denise Coffey, you've challenged yourself.
I hesitated, I'm sorry.
So, having very cleverly gained some breath and some more thought for the subject, it's a very clever way of doing the game, isn't it?
Now, butter away.
I like it.
St. Denise, I have to tell you, you haven't gained any points for just time, and there are 47 seconds left for tranquility.
You get a bonus point.
No, I almost thought...
A clever challenge.
Clever challenge.
A clever challenge. All right, a bonus point for a clever challenge. 47 seconds left for tranquility, Denise, starting now.
To be serious for a moment, tranquility is an atmosphere of peace and calmness, which has been notably not prevailing in this studio in Paddington. Okay,
James, Michael Challenge.
Deviation,
that
is a definite accusation.
And it's absolutely true. Yes, Denise Coffey has another point. There has another point, and there are 38 seconds left for tranquility, Denise, starting now.
What could be more peaceful than a summer evening upon the bosom of the sea?
Cameron Foy, Michael Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Derek Nimmer could be more peaceful than a summer's evening, for instance.
Oh,
he could be,
that.
But she has not deviated from the subject of tranquility. So Denise gets another point, and there are 35 seconds left, starting now.
Wordsworth once described poetry as emotion recollected in this very particular mood of which I'm speaking, and how true that is, don't you find when you write particular...
Derek Nimmer, you ungallant thing.
I'd get myself off there.
But I have to play the game correctly, so Derek takes the point, and there are 24 seconds left for tranquility, Derek.
The most tranquil person that I ever met was, of course, Gertie Guttleforth and her hot dogs. You see her in Madison Avenue in Birmingham, standing there in the most extraordinary calm way. And I used to pass her on Friday evenings out again to see him in Peter Pan. And there she'd be there, all calm, serene,
lovely. Clement, why do challenge?
Repetition of calm.
Yes, you did say calm before, I'm afraid, Derek. So, Clement, listening very well, gets it up to another point. And 5 seconds left for tranquility, Clement, starting now.
On a calm night in Lowestoft, when the moon is low and the streets are washed...
Clement Foy was speaking then when the whistle went, so he gains that extra point and increases the lead just a little over Kenneth Williams, who's still in second place. And we continue with Derek Nimmo, and the subject is faux pas. Can you talk about that? For 60 seconds, starting now.
One of the worst faux pas I've ever met was quite recently, actually, when I went to a public house near this very theater with Mr. Clement Foy one night after this show. A man came up to the bearded one and said, "I think we've not seen each other for a long time," slapped him on his old back and wandered off again. Foy said, "I've never seen a man in my life before." Well, soon after that, I said to him, "The most extraordinary thing happened to me the other day. I was in a BBC restaurant, and incredible woman came over, kissed me full on the mouth, and said all sorts of things that I didn't understand, and then she wandered away again. Quite extraordinary." And Freud said that...
Kenneth, why do you challenge?
The repetition of wandered away. The man wandered away, the woman wandered
yes,
away.
Yes,
everyone's
been
wandering
rather
away.
Rather a lot of wandering. So you
got
be...
BO or something.
Anyway, Kenneth, your intelligent listening has gained you a point and the subject with 24 seconds left, faux pas starting now.
The faux pas which I once made was a appalling, because at this dinner party I said, "How dreadful for someone very young to marry someone really old," and the dinner party was being given by a man of
60. Derek, why do you
chance
the dinner
party? Was only
yes, 16. There we are. There's a repetition of dinner party.
Unfortunate.
So, Derek, you get a point and the subject, and there are 6 seconds left for faux pas starting now.
The aforementioned fellow said, "That was no woman, that was my wife." And in fact, it was Clement Freud's wife.
Derek was speaking then when the whistle went, he gains that extra point. And alas, it is, I'm afraid, the end of this particular edition of Just a Minute. We have no more time left, so it remains for me to give you the score. In fourth place was Denise Coffey. She got a lot of points, but for the first time here, I think she did remarkably well. Congratulations, Denise. In second place was Derek Nimmo alongside Kenneth Williams. They are both equal in second place. 2 points behind Clement Freud, who once again is this week's winner. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute as much as we've enjoyed playing it to you. Until we all meet again, goodbye from us all here. Goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.